Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Right. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Some of what has already sort of taken place this morning has been covered, so I don't need to preach the whole sermon, but we're going to start in verse 24. Deuteronomy, the fifth of the books in the Pentateuch, and what we have here in Deuteronomy is Moses is recapping the whole journey from out of Egypt when the people, children of Israel, were enslaved 400 years. God leads them out under Moses' leadership, and Moses does a recap of that whole kind of journey out of Egypt and then wandering through the wilderness and then getting prepared to enter into the promised land that God's got for them. So within Deuteronomy, there's nothing so much new. There is some elaboration on some of the laws and things that have been given in the previous three books. But we have this kind of encapsulation, a summary of. So Moses is looking back. Sometimes that's a good thing to do. There are certain things we don't want to look back on, but there are certain things that I think we should, and actually acknowledge where God has actually kind of come through. And it's not until we look back, we go, oh, wow, now I can see where God was moving and what he was doing. I don't know if you find that, but I often find that, because sometimes in the midst of the situation, when it can be overwhelming and you're just trying to keep your head above water to make sort of, you're hoping you're making the right decisions around where to go, and you come through it, you go, oh, that's great. And yet, it's like when you look back and you just see, wow, God was so faithful. The fact that he brought that person into my life at that time to help me speak about that situation so I could make that decision, that didn't... Nigel Dixon, for me, is a classic example. Anna, his daughter, is now working up in Brisbane, said, hey, Phil, my dad would love to catch up with you. And to be honest, I was like, can't think of anything worse. Like, I just don't have time for that. I was just under the pump and I just went... I really like you, Anna. Okay, hey, maybe I've got half an hour next week. Half an hour before I knew it, an hour and a half had gone by, and I went, oh, far out, I've got to go. And it was just one of those God connections. And since that time, Nigel not only has imparted greatly to the life of our church, but personally for Nat and I, we've just found his wisdom and his own experiences of success, failure, that he would call them, have just been such a great blessing. So it's amazing how God does that. That's what I find. Here we go. Verse 24, let's get into this. Rise, take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road. I will not turn to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir and Moabites who dwell in Ar did for me, until I cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. Verse 30. But, everybody say, but. You've got to get worried when there's a but. Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. Now try and get your head around this next couple of sentences. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. Then Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Jahaz, and the Lord our God delivered him over to us, so we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. Let's pray. Father, this morning, just thank you that your word is timeless, your word is inspired, your word reveals so much about who you are. It's an insight into the relationship of you with your people throughout this whole journey. And today, may we just glean a bit that is relevant and pertinent to us here in 2016. That, Father, I pray our hearts and our minds to be open, personally, but also together as a family, a church, to hear what it is that you want to say in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I see here is that God gives a very clear command to Moses on what he should do. The NIV says, set out now and cross. The American Standard Version says, arise, set out. The King James Version says, rise ye up, take your journey. The Message says, on your feet now, get started. The Complete Jewish Bible says, get up, get moving. Do you kind of get the hint of what God is saying there? Do you think it's pretty clear about that God is giving a pretty clear directive around what they should do? And as I was reading this, this passage jumped out at me because I believe this is God's word to us as a church. It's like, let's get up, let's get moving. It's not to say we haven't been moving, and it's not to say that we haven't been faithful and that we've kind of like just sitting back on the deck chairs on Pino Festa, the fun ship, and just drinking pina coladas. I'm not saying that, but that does sound good. Back on track. What I am saying is I believe that God is wanting us to be aware that there's a new season he wants us to step into. He's wanting us to get our heads around is that, like, guys, I've got more for you. That God is speaking to us as a church, it's time to rise up and step into the next thing that I have for you. And sometimes, you know, what it means practically is that when you step up out of your chair, you've got to rise against gravity to be able to stand. And for us as a church, we've got to rise against the gravity of the situations that we're confronted with and start to take some steps of faith in God. I mean, there's been many times that we've felt prompted. And some of you were on the journey when we made the transition from the Glen Eyre Town Hall to here. And the passage that God gave us was when he said to Abraham, do not settle here in Haran, but go to a place, I'm not going to tell you where it is, but just go. And we felt that was a word for us as a church, that we needed to go from the Glen Eyre Town Hall and come and actually establish ourselves here in the school, in the theatre, and then we moved from the theatre into here for growth potential. And we just saw, when we do that, when we hear God and we step out and we step up, we get up and we get moving, it's amazing how God responds to our faith. I don't know what it looks like for you, but for me, I would much rather have the guaranteed result before I step out. Wouldn't that be nice? It's like, oh, okay, but that's not faith, is it? If we're certain of the result, then that's not faith. And so I believe that God is actually saying, and even when we were starting Compass, there was just a small group of us, like there was only about 10 or 12 of us that were committed to actually getting started, went for a run, and I know some of you know this story, but as I was running, I ran past the guys in a chambray blue shirt, some trousers that were like a khaki kind of colour, and he was just very well dressed, and he was standing at just on Beach Road on the running track, and he's looking out to the ocean, and I'm in the zone, and I'm trying to kind of run a bit of a PB for this 5-6K loop that I do, and I ran past this guy and something just dropped in my spirit. You've got to go back and talk to him about me, Phil. I'm going, God, I'm in a really good worship song. I've got a really good rhythm. I don't need my inhaler. I've actually got some good rhythm going here. And I just felt so strongly. You've got to go and tell him about, just tell him that God loves him. I'm going, that's really inconvenient. And so I get probably 200 meters past where he was. And I had to stop in my tracks because the burden was that heavy. I turned around and I ran back as fast as I could to where the guy was. And he wasn't there. And I kind of just had that moment, oh man, I stuffed this up. And I ran. There was only two paths back to actual Beach Road. I sprinted up both of them and I looked down and there was nowhere to be seen. There was no cars. There was nothing like that. And I kind of like just was going, God, I'm so sorry. And I just felt like I'd missed this opportunity. But for me, as I stand here, this is just how I took it. It was an angel actually standing there. God wanted to get my attention and he said, Phil, there are people in your community. There is people in the city of Glen Eyre that need to hear about Jesus. You've got to have that sense of urgency. As you turned around and you sprinted back to where he was and he wasn't there, that sense of urgency. So I came back to the guys that night and I said, guys, we've got to actually get this church started. We've got to get going. We've got to have a sense of urgency about this. Get up, let's get moving. So I believe that's part of the word to us this morning is get up, get moving. And I think that one of the keys to actually doing it is just get going. I know there's so many of us in this room that kind of God's spoken to us about stuff and he's dropped a dream or an idea in our heart, but we've not actually taken any action on it. Why? Because we think, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I have to wait until this. It's that when, then kind of thinking. When everything's all good and everything's all together, then I will do something. Guess what? That day will never come. Because there's always going to be something else that we need to work on. We're a work in progress. One of the great things that came out of our blokes group last Saturday morning as we're sitting down just chatting about bloke stuff is that God really impressed and reminded us that we are good men. We're not perfect. Wives, don't dig your bloke in the ribs right now. We're not perfect. We know that. But when we have Jesus in our heart, guess what? God sees us as good. We're not the finished product. We're still a work in progress. But we've got good men in this church. We've got great men in this church. They're not as great as they're going to be. We're becoming even greater. But some of us think we're not good enough. Some of us think that, you know, like, I've got too much crap going on in my life. Welcome to the club. Now, I'm not excusing willful, knowing, habitual, sinful behavior. I'm not saying that, but if we've got a heart that's after Jesus, it's like, don't wait until everything's all perfect before you have a crack. It's not that when-then thinking. If you think you're not good enough, take that up with Jesus, because he paid the price for your not good enoughness. In his eyes, you are good enough. The fact that you're here this morning, whether you're into the God thing or not, that there is a God that loves you and he sees you as good and he doesn't want to leave you the way you are, but he wants you to be transformed more and more into the person you were created to be, which is more and more like Jesus. So one of the keys is we just got to get going. So there's so many of us that have got that sense that God's called us to something, we've just not actually made a start. What's the next thing that I take out of this is that God asked Moses to look to see. The picture that you'll see up on the screen is like just a picture of the gorge that Moses would have stood and looked out across. That picture there, guys? Is that photo? Yeah, thank you. So this is the Arnon Gorge. What do you see? Who sees a land flowing with milk and honey? Who sees a place that, yeah, I want to raise my kids there? Who looks at that and just goes, I see success written all over that dirt? Guaranteed, great place to plant crops. So he's not asking Moses to look in the natural. As we said this morning, he's asking Moses, okay, look and see with the eye of faith what it is that I want to show you. Some of us need to hear this morning and step out of the natural and start to engage God at a supernatural level. He has no favorites. If you say, God, I want to start to see things the way you start to see them, and you will start to have your world perspective, your view on relationships, your view on work, a view on people that annoy you, people that kind of like are just in your world, you'll start to view them and see them differently. You'll start to understand it's not all about you. And instead of like, God, I just need this met, I need that met. You know, one of the things I heard this week, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our Father, kingdom. So therefore we're talking about a father's kingdom, a family. And then he says, asking, give us this day our daily bread. In our household, do you think that it's right that my daughter should have to plead and beg mum and dad every day for breakfast? Or lunch, or dinner. Every day we should be pleading. No, they're the things where we're called to acknowledge God, that he's the provider of everything and that we need to ask for that. Those needs that we have, God knows what we need. And we need to ask for those needs. But we have this wonderful Heavenly Father that I love giving gifts. I'm a gifts guy, so I love giving gifts to Nat and to the girls and stuff like that. We have this God that wants to give us good gifts. It's not just about the daily needs, but God is wanting to do so much more in our lives if we're actually willing to get a godly perspective on our lives and our world, that it's not just all about me, that I just need my stuff met. That's such a selfish way to live. I only desire blessing so I can actually give it away, that we can impact communities around about in Malawi more and more. What is it that you see? I mean, Moses was asked to see God. God asked him, Moses, what do you see? Look out. I'm giving you the victory. I'm giving you this land that you see before you for the fulfillment of the promises that I have for you. What do you see when you look at your own life, your health, your finances? If you're married, your marriage and family, your kids, what do you see for their lives? Are we dictated to by what society is imposing upon our kids and our families, or we actually start speaking out and seeing our families as God intends them to be? for our young people in the life of this church, when we pray and I hear Katie and Eldon praying, they're not praying kind of like, God, help us to, you know, help us just to put up with the pressures of Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all that sort of stuff. You know, like, have you heard about the new app they're bringing out, the culmination of Facebook, Twitter and YouTube? They're combining. Yeah, it's going to be called You Twit Face. But anyway. But these guys don't just go, oh, you know, these guys pray bold prayers of faith for our young people to go, you know, they're going to be mighty men and women of faith that do incredibly well at school. Whatever their hand is put to do, they're going to be mighty and they're going to be respected and they're going to be powerful in whatever they do. Like, I mean, they're just words of faith. We don't settle for just what the world would try to impose upon us. God asked Moses, what do you see? And you might say to me, well, Phil, it's all good and well because God spoke and told Moses that he was going to have the victory. So it'd be nice to actually go into it knowing that I've got the victory. Well, isn't that what the Bible tells us? That we've got the victory? It's like, well, what do you mean? Well, doesn't it say that we're more than conquerors through Christ? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Isn't that what he says to us? As far as I can read, when Jesus won the victory on the cross, he kind of won. He didn't get silver or bronze. He got the ultimate gold, world record holder, undefeated. That he is all powerful, almighty. Isn't that what he tells us? That we are more than conquerors. He doesn't want you just to be a conqueror. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. Not just get victory in this. God wants to open your eyes to the levels of victory that he has for us. But what happens when things don't go as we thought they would? So Moses makes a very reasonable offer to this Sihon, this king of Heshbon. I mean, that's a reasonable offer to say, I'll pay you for food and water, just let us pass through. And the intention was a peaceful passage. The reality is we are carriers and we are perpetuators of a message of peace, love, reconciliation with God. Whenever peace tries to be propagated, it will be met with resistance in some way, shape or form. In the natural or in the spiritual. Peace and freedom are never free. So the reality is that we have to be prepared that if we're going to rise up and we're going to go and keep going with what God's given us. God's given us clear mission and he's given us a vision of where we're heading and the preferred future of where we're heading as a church. That's great. But the reality is, as Michael alluded to a few weeks ago, is that opposition will come. Throughout Scripture, we see this again and again, that opposition comes. I found a fascinating few verses out of Micah chapter 4. It says, "And now many nations have been assembled against you, who say, let her be polluted and let our eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, and they do not understand his purpose. For he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, daughter of Zion, for your horn I will make iron, your hooves I will make bronze, that you may pulverize many peoples, that you may devote to the Lord their unjust gain and their wealth to the Lord of all the earth." And we see again and again, whenever the children of Israel step into the purpose that God has for them, it's met with resistance. I like that word, pulverize. We do it in grace, of course, but we pulverize. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God had hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate. What's that about? God, you said go, and now you make this guy's heart obstinate. And he's stubborn. I don't have an answer. Let's move on. There's a couple of passages in Scripture that allude to something similar happened to his heart. When I started to read and find out about what it means that God hardened, Augustine of Hippo in the 4th, 5th century, I think probably frames this well theologically. I like this. And that is, it's not so much that God hardened his heart in that way. For Pharaoh and guys like Sihon, the king we're talking to, these guys were so objectionable to God's purpose and plan. They had resisted. And if you read in Romans chapter 1, the process of regression further and further away from godliness to eventually God giving people over to their own desires. So God, in a sense here, it's considered, Augustine would frame it as an act of mercy to hand these guys over to where they'd been so resistant to God's mercy. The reality is, as the older I get, the more I see God more and more at work in people's lives who aren't Christians than what we're willing to give credit for. You see, the Holy Spirit is drawing people to Jesus. And there are people that are open to that and are on a path of discovery and a journey to faith. And finally, hopefully, they come to that place of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and they start their journey of faith. But there are those in society, and I believe that King Sion here was one of those, that he was so resistant to God's grace that he had showed him throughout that time, that God basically just took his hands off and allowed him to pursue and fulfill his own heart's desires of rejecting anything to do with God. So his heart was hardened. So Augustine would say it as an act of mercy that God did that. It's because God was entitled to, the way he was rejecting God, God was entitled to just obliterate and pulverize this guy. But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. What he did deserve was God's judgment and punishment and wrath. But what God does is take his hands off and his heart becomes even more hardened because he's left without any of that gracious work of God's Holy Spirit drawing him to God. Does that make sense? That fits well with my understanding of the nature and character of who God is. And the same thing with Pharaoh when his heart is hardened to not let the people of Israel go. And ultimately we see that hardening of heart is so deep and so strong that God's victory is even magnified even more greatly, which is quite a difficult thing to get our heads around. But Augustine writes, God does not work this hardness of heart in man, but he may be said to harden him who refuses to soften, to blind him who refuses to enlighten, and to repel him who refuses the call. So we see that this guy's heart, I mean, I don't know how many situations I've been in where I felt God's called me to this, but then there's this opposition. It's like, God, I thought you said that this we're supposed to see this happen. This is not meant to be happening like this. It's fascinating because don't forget, Moses is looking back over the journey here. And you can actually see in Exodus the actual situation unfold. But yet Moses here kind of identifies that it was God that actually had hardened King Sion's heart and caused him to become obstinate. I would love somebody to explain to me, how did Moses know that it was God that did that? We don't get any insight. I'm still trying to get my head around that one. How did Moses know God was the one that allowed that to happen? If I get an answer, I'll let you know. But I'm still trying to get my head around that. But that's Moses' observation of the situation. But as I said, there are so many situations that we come out of the other side of and we can look back. But so many of us actually get hit with, confronted with opposition or resistance. And we either give up on what we're actually pursuing or we quit altogether. Can I encourage you this morning? One of the greatest challenges is getting started, but one of the other greatest challenges is actually hanging in there and not giving up. When God has actually said, this is the way, walk ye in it, just hang in there, don't give up. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, so rest in him. If he's called you to it, he's going to provide you with everything you need to fulfill that. God does not set us up to fail. And I believe he's called us to, as a church, to step into more of what he has for us, to get up and to get moving. And when Moses is confronted with this opposition, it's interesting again that God actually asks him to look again. So the vision that God has given us will always be tested. It'll always be tested. And so when we're confronted with opposition, it's a good time to go back to what God spoke to you in the first place and kind of like just go, God, no, hang on a minute. I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your promises. I'm not going to let this opposition stop or resist me from pressing on and pressing forward. You know, like I think that we've made some pretty big bold statements as a church this year. The boldest that we have in terms of faith steps required for us to step into what God's got next for us. We were having a conversation around our dinner table the other night and I found myself talking before I thought about it. Ever done that? And I said some things to the family that I just went, wow. And then something kind of jumped in my spirit. And it was along the lines of, at the start of this year, we just put it out there. We believe God is calling us because, I don't know about you, but we are needed and we belong in this community, this city of Melbourne. We are needed and we belong. We have to be here. And so we said for us to actually do that and to put a stake in the ground, the time is coming very quickly for us as a church to step out in faith and actually look at acquisition purchase of a building that we can use 24/7 primarily for community care, outreach and endeavours, and it will be used as a church and stuff like that as well. But the primary motivation purpose of that will be actually serving and meeting the needs within our community. And so for us to do that, though, I mean, anyone who has any idea of real estate around in this area, you know that it's like probably $5 to $6 million, and you just go, whoa, that's a lot of money. Absolutely, it's a lot of money. But I'm glad we've got a big God. And I want to stand before you this morning, because I said to the girls, and I said, you know what, either, you know, throughout the end of this year or in 2017, we're going to sit around this table, we're going to go, oh my flipping goodness, can't believe God has done that. How did that happen? So if you want a boring, mediocre journey ride church, I'm telling you, the next 18 months, this is not the place to be. Because I'm not interested in mediocre. I'm not interested in just, you know, I love hanging out with people. I love it. Social stuff, great. But and if we're not having supernatural encounters, if we're not seeing the miraculous, if we're not seeing people get healed, if we're not seeing, come on, church, if we're not seeing deaf ears opening and people hearing, if we're not seeing blind eyes open, if we're not seeing marriages restored and families strengthened, if we're not seeing breakthrough in our schools and our workplaces, if we're not getting testimonies of a supernatural God doing incredible things in our lives, in our workplaces, in our families, what are we doing? I'd rather be surfing. That's what we said when we started Compass. If we could surf on Sunday mornings or have breakfast with the family at a cafe or go to church, church better be good. So church better be good. And it's only going to be good as if there's more of God, because God is good. I'm excited about what God wants to do in our midst. I mean, if you don't know what our growth strategy is for Compass Church, our growth strategy is you and me. Our growth strategy is that each one of us are just so enthralled and encapsulated by the love of Jesus Christ that we just have to tell those around us. If God is so, that real and he's that amazing, he's that incredible in my life, then that should be overflowing to my world. And then I should be seeing people come in and coming into that life-changing relationship with Jesus. Our heart's desire is that at any one time, 25% of our church has come to Christ in the last 12 months. Whether that's somebody that hasn't been walking with the Lord for years or somebody that's just sort of finding their way with the God thing, that's our heart's desire, is that we would see this community and this society impacted for the glory of God in a way that this area hasn't seen before. Otherwise, why are we here? So it's all of our responsibility. And I'm very conscious, I'm going to close with this, I'm very conscious that we haven't seen many people lately making commitments to Christ. I'm very aware of that. I've been talking to the leaders about it, just going, hang on a sec, are we turning into a social club? Are we turning into just like, I'll just suss out and see how good this week is, whether I come next week or not? And what are you going to put on that impresses me? You know, are we slipping into that attitude? Because at the end of the day, we're at a size where kind of most things can just keep running. And we turn into an institution and we get comfortable and we start to get upset. Well, this is how we do it. And they're sitting in my chair, or we do things this way. That's why I like just to change stuff for no reason. Because we just can't get comfortable like that. Because the stakes and the cost is too great. And so this morning, I believe it's time for us to rise up, get going. If you think you're not good enough, you're in good company. None of us are, but God has made us good. And we just want to get going with what he's given us and do the very best we can, which for me is excellence. And so can I encourage you? Can I challenge you? Can I dare you this morning? Let's go, church. Let's go to where it is that God wants us to go. And so what does that mean for you and me? It means that I am going to actually be more aware than I have been for some time about the people in my world that don't know Jesus. I'm going to start to take personal responsibility for the people around me. And it's not about getting them to Compass Church. We know that, right? It doesn't matter what church. Just get them in touch with Jesus and get them plugged into somewhere where they can flourish and grow. Hopefully it is Compass. But we take personal responsibility for that. If we're struggling with issues in our life, then hey, Let us help you. That's what we're here for. If you haven't done Alpha, do Alpha. If you haven't done D101, get entrenched into that. If you haven't done Freedom in Christ, then I encourage you to do that. Whatever it takes to do your bit, rise up, step into what God's got next. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that you're more committed to us than we are to you. That, Father, it's so easy to get distracted by just life and things that don't necessarily aren't going the way we thought they would, aren't turning out the way we thought they might. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get distracted. But, Father, I pray this morning, together as a church family, that we would not sweep those things under the carpet and we will deal with them. But this morning, Father, we want to say we want to go to where it is you are calling us. We want to take the step from where we are and we want to go. We hear your voice. We can already look and see what it is that you want us to be. You've made that clear. We want to keep pressing into that. Keep moving forward in that. Just thank you what you've already done in this meeting this morning through that worship time. Thank you for answered prayer. And just as we close this morning, if anyone would like prayer today, we're going to have some of our leaders out the front here. I'm going to close the service. If you need to go, it's been great having you in church this morning. Thank you. Feel free to grab a coffee or just hang out down the back there. But we're just going to allow, if anyone would like prayer or something that was shared earlier, maybe stirred your heart, let's not have any unfinished business here with God this morning. Let's make sure that we just really just commit that to the Lord. So if that's you, we'd love to pray with you. But Father, I pray you bless your people. We are mindful of those that can't be here, whether that's travel due to work and commitments or whether it's illness or health stuff. Lord, just pray your blessing over your church. Make your face to shine upon us. May we reflect your glory everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.